Ray looked into the eyes of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who had been gazing sternly on the judge's study from the same perch for almost a century. Ray had no doubt that his father had chosen to die on the sofa so that the general could help him through it. The general knew. He knew how and when the judge died. He knew where the cash came from. He knew who had broken in last night and trashed the office. "Did he ever include Claudia in anything?" Ray asked.
"Never. He could hold a grudge, you know that."
"She stopped by this morning."
"What'd she want?"
"I think she was looking for money. She said the judge had always promised to take care of her, and she wanted to know what was in the will."
"Did you tell her?"
"With pleasure."
"She'll be all right. Never worry about that woman. You remember old Walter Sturgis out from Caraway, a dirt contractor for years, tight as a tick?"
Harry Rex knew everybody in the county, all 30,000 souls, blacks, whites, and now the Mexicans. "I don't think so."
"He's rumored to have $500,000 in cash, and she's after it. Got the old boy wearing golf shirts and eating at the country club. He told his buddies he takes Viagra every day."
"Attaboy.
She'll break him."
Forrest shifted somehow in the porch swing and the chains creaked. They waited a moment until all was quiet out there. Harry Rex opened a file and said,
"Here's the appraisal. We had it done late last year by a guy from Tupelo. Probably the best appraiser in North Mississippi."
"How much?"
$400,000.
"Sold."
"I thought he was high. Of course, the judge thought the place was worth $1 million.
"Of course."
"I figure $300,000 is more likely."
"We won't get half that much. What's the appraisal based on?"
"It's right here. Square footage, acreage, charm, comps, the usual."
"Give me a comp." Harry Rex flipped through the appraisal.
"Here's one. A house about the same age, same size, 30 acres, on the edge of Holly Springs, sold 2 years ago for $800,000.
"This is not Holly Springs."
"No, it's not.
That's an antebellum town with lots of old houses."
"You want me to sue the appraiser?"
"Yeah, let's go after him. What would you give for this place?"
"Nothing. You want a beer?"
"Nah." Harry Rex lumbered into the kitchen and returned with a tall can of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
"I don't know why he buys this stuff," he mumbled,
then gulped a fourth of it. Always been his brand. Harry Rex peeked through the blinds and saw nothing but Forrest's feet hanging off the swing.
"I don't think he's too worried about his father's estate."
"He's like Claudia, just wants a check."
"Money would kill him."
It was reassuring to hear Harry Rex share this belief. Ray waited until he returned to the desk because he wanted to watch his eyes carefully. "The judge earned less than $9,000 last year," Ray said, looking at a tax return.
"He was sick," Harry Rex said, stretching and twisting his substantial back, then sitting down. "But he was hearing cases until this year."
"What kind of cases?"
"All sorts of stuff. We had this Nazi right-wing governor a few years back.
I remember him.
Liked to pray all the time when he campaigned. Family values. Anti-everything but guns. Turned out he liked the ladies. His wife called him Big Stink. Really juicy stuff. The local judges down in Jackson wanted no part of the case for obvious reasons, so they asked the judge to ride in and referee things."
"Did it go to trial?"
"Oh, hell yeah. Big, ugly trial. The wife had the goods on a governor who thought he could intimidate the judge. She got the governor's house and most of the money. Last I heard, he was living above his brother's garage. With bodyguards, of course."
"Did you ever see the old man intimidated?"
"Never. Not once in 30 years.
Harry Rex worked on his beer, and Ray looked at another tax return. Things were quiet. And when he heard Forrest snore again, Ray said, "I found some money, Harry Rex." His eyes conveyed nothing, no conspiracy, no surprise, no relief. They didn't blink and they didn't stare. He waited, then finally shrugged and said,
"How much?"
"A box full." The questions would follow, and Ray had tried to predict them. Again, Harry Rex waited, then another innocent shrug.
"Where?"
"Over there in that cabinet behind the sofa." "It was cash in a box. Over $90,000. So far, he had not told a lie. He certainly hadn't given the entire truth, but he wasn't lying. Not yet.
$90,000?
Harry Rex said a little too loudly, and Ray nodded toward the porch.
Yes, in $100 bills, he said in a lower voice. Any idea where it came from?
Harry Rex gulped from the can, then squinted his eyes at the wall and finally said,
Not really.
Gambling? You said he could throw the dice. Another sip.
Yeah, maybe.
The casino's opened 6 or 7 years ago, and he and I would go once a week, at least in the beginning.
You stopped? I wish, between me and you, I was going all the time. I was gambling so much I didn't want the judge to know it. So whenever he and I went, I always played it light. Next night, I'd sneak over and lose my ass again.
How much did you lose?
Let's talk about the judge.
Okay. Did he win?
Usually. On a good night, he'd win a couple of thousand.
On a bad night?
500. That was his limit. If he was losing, he knew when to quit. That's the secret to gambling. You got to know when to quit, and you got to have the guts to walk away. He did. I did not.
Did he go without you?
Yeah, I saw him once. I sneaked over one night and picked a new casino. Hell, they got 15 now. And while I was playing blackjack, things got hot at a craps table not too far away. In the thick of things, I saw Judge Attlee. Had on a baseball cap so folks wouldn't recognize him. His disguises didn't always work because I'd hear things around town. A lot of folks go to the casinos, and there were sightings.
How often did he go?
Who knows? He answered to no one. I had a client, one of those Higginbotham boys who sell used cars, and he told me he saw old Judge Attlee at the craps table at 3 o'clock one morning at Treasure Island. So I figured the judge sneaked over at odd hours so folks wouldn't see him.